Hello, and thank you for joining us here on the Neutral Zone. I am Phil Milani, joined as always by my trusty sidekick, my partner in crime. Really, the best way to describe this person is my everything. It's at Eric DeLisle.
Phil, one final time.
Here at the farm home.
The farm home.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss it.
Well, it's the final time of the season.
Right.
We don't know what the future holds here.
Exactly.
And since it's our final time, we decided to change the time. We did it at 6 o'clock.
You're still
all year
ready.
Long.
You're still ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm always here. I'm just ready to rock.
We didn't want anyone to have to choose the neutral zone over the national title game.
Yeah.
Didn't want to hurt ESPN's ratings too badly.
Yeah.
So we went ahead.
I tweeted earlier. I was like, you could have watched this, the neutral zone, for 1 hour and then still caught like a good 5 hours of the game.
That's true. Those things, they tend to go on.
Pretty much any college football game goes on that long these days.
The way the last game between Georgia and Alabama went, it might be over in the first hour.
That's true. That was I got out of hand pretty quickly.
It.
Huh? Yeah. Michigan Wolverine fans out there.
I meant the SEC championship.
Oh, the last time these two teams played. Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah. What do you think about the college champ? We're going off on a little bit of a side here, but
we're also going to talk about college football this week.
What do you think about it on a Monday? You know?
Well, when else would you do it?
I'm saying, like, maybe earlier.
Oh.
This Monday tends to be dominated by the NFL. This is the Black Monday in the NFL. A lot of coaching changes, GM changes all around the league. Sort of dominating the headlines. It wasn't until this afternoon I was like, oh, I think the national championship game is today.
Yeah, something for them to think about. It's the first year that it's like that, of course, because you had the semi around New Year's. This is the first year with Week 18 in the NFL.
Yeah, that's true.
So, kind of a new schedule.
I when I think college bowl game, I think New Year's.
Yeah.
That's when I would like
playoff.
To see the championship game.
Takes a little bit longer.
I like the playoff, but I just wish it was a little bit.
Maybe after the semis, maybe you just line it up and play again the same night.
Just run it back?
Yeah.
Just like you're playing a little rec ball down
exactly.
at the YMCA.
Yeah, you're tearing it up.
Exactly, yeah. I've seen you down there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They call you, what, the fat sloppy boy or something like that?
I wish they would call me that. Yeah. That's a little Jokic reference.
Yeah,
in case,
not actually.
Maybe some Broncos.
Not insulting, Phil. That's a compliment these days, I think.
We've got off to a rough start here, but we're supposed to be talking about the Broncos coaching search, Eric.
Let's do it.
After 3 years, the Broncos decided to move on from Vic Fangio on Sunday. The Broncos... wrapped up the season not quite how they had hoped. They were in position to maybe make a run for the playoffs, but instead four consecutive losses to wrap up the season. That means for the fifth year in a row, a losing record. For the sixth year in a row, the Broncos on the outside of the playoffs. So they decided to make the coaching change, and we're going to break down pretty much all things about where the Broncos might be going forward here.
That's right. And, you know, it's a tough decision. Obviously, George Payton, you could tell how much he respected Vic Fangio, called him the best coach he's ever been around, praised his work ethic, his football mind. But Vic Fangio said it too. When you go three consecutive years with a losing season, without being able to get to the postseason, it's just not good enough. And so the Broncos, clearly, George Payton said he thought it was the best thing to turn the page here and move forward. He was asked directly, Phil, if the Broncos had won against the Chiefs, what would have happened?
He didn't want to get into that.
Didn't go into that.
Yeah.
It is interesting to consider, though.
You think that one game maybe could have?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Vic Fangio coached 49 games over three seasons. If you're letting one game
is
decide.
Not going to determine things. Yeah. I will say a lot of people are saying, wow, he didn't get a fair shot here in 3 years. That's just so fast. But that is life in the NFL. Do you know what I mean? The Broncos unable to find like a lot of success on the offensive side of the ball during Fangio's tenure here. People are saying he never really had the quarterback to really have that success. I think that that's true. I think that there's been a lot of talk about the quarterbacks that Vic Fangio has had. Joe Flacco, Brandon Allen, Drew Locke, Jeff Driscoll, Brett Rypien, of course this year Teddy Bridgewater. You're not talking about, like, franchise guys there, so you're thinking maybe it just wasn't working out on the offensive side of the ball. But that is reality in the NFL, that when you're the head coach, you're in charge of everything, you know. And while Vic was a defensive-minded head coach, he was ultimately the head coach, and the team just not good enough during his three-year stretch.
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback situation is unfortunate. You know, you wish that you had a Patrick Mahomes, a Justin Herbert, that type of guy. The Broncos don't right now, but there are a couple of teams that can win without those. And, you know, had Teddy Bridgewater stayed healthy, who knows what can happen. But
yeah,
you're right, Phil. At the end of the day, it's a results business. People don't care. I think Vic Fangio said it before he was dismissed. He said, they don't draw pictures. There's just a W and there's an L.
Oh.
They don't draw pictures with each game. You don't get
Ben Swanson draws pictures.
That's true, but Vic Fangio doesn't draw pictures.
That's true.
There's nothing there about, you know, the Broncos were missing this many guys due to COVID, or they didn't get great quarterback play, or there were three fumble returns for touchdowns. I mean, that stuff doesn't get included at the end of the day. The bottom line is your wins and losses, and the Broncos, would it help to get a good quarterback? Of course, that's got to be a priority moving forward. But I also think, as George Payton has said, they need somebody to come in and be that leader.
Yeah.
And as Joe Ellis put it, Phil, inspire people, just kind of change the feeling around the organization, because, as Joe put it, there's this sense right now that when something goes wrong, it's going to spiral.
Yeah.
And they got to get out of that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's been just a product of so many years on a road not really having that success, that it's easy to just spiral down like that. But I'll say this about Vic. I think that during his time here, he got more comfortable as a head coach. I think that he grew in that area just from interviewing him a little bit. You know, I think he got a little bit more personable over the time.
With you, it's easy.
You just nailing him with the tough ones during the press conferences. He gave you some funny answers.
Did the meatballs.
The meatball.
The pasta.
The pasta. He said that was his favorite side dish for Thanksgiving.
No, I mean,
think he got better in that area.
Yeah.
Certainly worked very hard. I mean, when I was leaving the facility at like 11:30 at night.
Why'd you leave?
Yeah. That's a good question.
See, I never saw him leaving because I never left.
You never left.
Yeah.
You're just always working.
Right. I just come here.
You and him.
And then I go back.
Yeah, you and him were just there.
Sometimes we'd cross in the night.
Yeah. Two ships. He was always there, though. I mean, his car was always in that parking spot, always working hard. And I think he's quickly going to become maybe the top defensive coordinator candidate out there.
No doubt.
And just like he told our good friend Jeff Legwald after the game against the Chiefs, don't worry about me, Legs. I'll be all right.
That was Gary Kubiak-esque, you know?
Yeah.
They're like,
don't worry.
I'll be good, bud.
Yeah, bud.
Yeah. No, I mean, there were things that I really appreciated about Vic.
Yeah.
You know, the way he treated high school football coaches. He talked about his former players with such admiration. He loved the game of football. I mean, the one thing I kind of regret for him is that he probably deserved an opportunity a little bit earlier in his career, which could have maybe given him a chance to get back to a head coaching role. I think it's going to be tough at his age, you know, early 60s.
To be a
head coach again. Maybe he will, but I'm not sure if that's going
to
happen.
We've got a lot to get to here on this edition of the Neutral Zone here. Of course, this show is live on the Broncos YouTube page, and it's all about NZ Nation. Please send in your questions, and we'll answer them. That's sort of the idea behind this show. It's a conversation.
Is Ben Swanson just typing out art over there? Or, I mean, this thing is
packed.
We're
getting some pictures here, but we're getting some stuff. Lewis N. says, watch out, small sips of beer. Is that one of your friends?
Lewis N.?
I take big sips of beer.
Yeah.
Of course, we're at Breckenridge Brewery's farm home.
Who's supposed to watch out? Like us?
I don't know. He just says watch out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Danger.
We're here in Littleton. That is a suburb in Denver, if you're not from around here. Of course, we know that it's off of Santa Fe and Brewery Lane.
That's right. Great place.
We've been here all season long, every Monday from 6 to 7. This week, we just decided to do it at 5 o'clock.
You are not happy about this. You're not. You're off your game.
I'm a little bit off, but I'll rebound nicely, I think.
Well, tonight we're going from 5 to 7.
double hour, huh? Well, we'll go from 5 to 6, I think, today here. But we've had a great season here, Eric, I would say. It's been a lot of fun.
We've enjoyed it.
When we started, it was a farmhouse.
That's right.
Now it's a farm home.
It was bound to happen, but I...
Memories.
The persistence we showed, I think, was impressive.
Okay, Locke. It just says Locke. I don't know if that's Drew.
Drew?
Or if, I don't know.
Maybe Andy?
It could be Andy, his father, a big fan of the Neutral Zone.
Yep.
I believe. So it just says, Phil, who's the next head coach?
Come on.
Yeah, interesting that he just a lot of people just feel like this is a conversation between me and them.
Yeah, they don't want to talk to me. Go for it. Tell. I want to know, too.
Then Colton Eckleberry says, hopefully it's an offensive mind. Okay. Well, there's some threat.
Some back and forth.
Jordan Atkins, they better find an offensive mind the next Sean McVay, whoever that is.
Mm.
Whoever or whomever. I don't know. I think that's the formal version.
yeah, that's how that works.
Yeah, that's a formal. Perkle Panda 55. Is that your college roommate?
Perkle Panda?
Yeah.
I don't think I lived with a Perkle Panda.
I want either Kellen Moore or Eric Bieniemy. CU legend, Eric Bieniemy.
Our friend Ben Swanson is wearing his CU Buffs sweatshirt right now.
That is true. Sco Buffs. A lot of names out there. Eric, some reports today about who the Broncos have requested to interview. You want to run through those a little bit?
Oh, my gosh. Going to have to look some of them up here.
Let's just say it's been reported both Dallas coordinators.
That's right. Dan Quinn, Kellen Moore, of course. Dan Quinn is a former head coach.
Yes.
Took Atlanta to a Super Bowl.
That's one thing I want to get into after we run through this. It's just about would you rather have a person who's already been a head coach, or would you rather have like that new up-and-comer type of name where there's a little bit of an unknown? I want to get into that in just a second, but let's go through the list.
Okay, so Dan Quinn, former Atlanta Falcons head coach, defensive coordinator with the Seahawks, now with the Cowboys. It's one guy, Kellen Moore, Dallas's offensive coordinator.
33 years old, Eric.
That's right.
He's younger than he's younger than me, but
he's
probably 10 years
double my age. I think.
Double your age.
Yeah. Dallas, of course, has a number one total offense, number one scoring offense. Dak Prescott just throws the ball around the yard. Yeah. So,
and their defense is very good at forcing turnovers.
Yes,
that's something that Dan Quinn really excelled at when he was in Seattle with that Legion of Boom. Broncos fans probably familiar with that performance in Super Bowl 48.
Yeah. Jonathan Gannon, Eagles defensive coordinator, maybe a name that wasn't on as many radars, but he's considered kind of an up-and-coming young coach.
Yep.
Of course, the Eagles defense held the Broncos to not very many points.
Yeah.
Some people pointed out that the Broncos offense was held to not very many points against several teams.
Darius Slay had a nice – didn't he have a nice –
he had an 83-yard fumble return, which is not as bad as 86.
No.
That's 3 yards better.
Is much worse.
Let's see. Who else am I?
Nathaniel Hackett.
Yep. Green Bay. Offensive coordinator.
Their offensive coordinator. Eric Bieniemy.
Eric Bieniemy. Kansas City Chiefs. Did we mention Kevin O'Connell, the Rams offensive coordinator?
Yes.
And then, of course, Jerod Mayo.
Jerod Mayo,
the inside linebackers coach. He's the lone candidate who's not a coordinator. He's a position coach.
I think he's very involved in the defense.
He is, Steve Belichick, Bill's son, and Jerod Mayo are... they're kind of almost like co-defensive coordinators.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
But the titles up in New England, everything's a little different up there.
Everything's a little different. Yeah. So that is what George Payton said, that they're going to head into this thing with a very open mind. They're going to cast a wide net. They're going to go into this thing and just really – George Payton, I think, said that this is a big decision and that they have to get it right.
He said they would get it right.
They would get it right.
He said, I promise you that we'll get it right. That's a big thing to say, because when you say, you know, it's a 6-year contract for George Payton going into year two. I think it's possible sometimes that you hire two head coaches, and certainly depending if George is 10 years longer, that's possible. But the same way that when he picks a quarterback, his legacy as the GM is going to be hitched to that person. When he picks this head coach, and Joe Ellis made it very clear, this is George Payton's decision. The future of the Broncos lies with George Payton, which Joe made sound like a very good thing. And from what we've seen, I think it is. But this head coach is going to be a major part of George's tenure here with the Broncos in determining, is it a big success? And so it is a huge decision.
Do you think that, Erica, we mentioned with Vic, that life in the NFL comes at you quickly? It comes at you fast. 3 years, boom.
Would you say if you don't stop and look around every once in a while, you might miss it?
You got to smell the roses.
Yeah.
You got to just take a second once in a while. I was going to ask you, though, do you think that for a guy like George Payton, life can come at fast with him, too, you know? You want to go through this journey with your own guys. Do you think there's some of that there? Because he did mention that he has a lot of respect for Vic Fangio. They had a great working relationship. But at the end of the day, George wants to go through this journey. This is his first chance to be a GM. This is his neck that's on the line here. You want to go? You want to ride or die with your own guys?
Ride or die.
Yeah.
I think part of it is that, and he said this in his press conference, when they evaluated the whole scenario, they determined to get to where they want to be that a change needed to be made.
Yeah.
You know, you don't ever want to fire anybody. You don't want to go through this search if you don't have to. So I think if George saw a path with Vic that was likely or that was promising to move forward and get to where you needed to go, I think he would have done that.
Got it.
But I think he kind of determined, based on what he saw over the last year, that, hey, we need a little bit different of an approach. And it did sound like a tough decision, so it wasn't like he was like, man, this was easy to get rid of this guy. But I think it was clear that a little bit of a different approach was needed.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get to a couple of questions here.
Let's do it.
And then we'll talk more about that list that we just talked about.
That list, okay. Because you talked about former head coach versus new head coach.
Yeah, you got to.
My question is, especially with these offensive guys, how much do you care if they're not the current play caller?
Yeah, that too. Well, let's talk about the head coach versus the up-and-comer thing here. Because one thing that is for sure true is that when you become a head coach for the first time, there's some growing pains. There is a lot that's on your plate that you don't necessarily think about. It's a lot of logistics, a lot of scheduling, you know, much more than just coaching, actually. You know,
right.
It's like you're sort of running the building. Everything kind of comes across your desk. And if you've never been in that position before, there's some learning pains. Now, for Vic, that happened much later in his career, but there are still learning pains, you know. For a guy like Vance Joseph, it happened earlier in his career. There was some growing pains there. But for like a guy like Gary Kubiak, who came in, he had been a head coach. John Fox, he'd been a head coach. You just come in and you kind of hit the ground running a little bit more smoothly. Does that matter to you? Or are you willing to kind of learn through some of those growing pains if the coach is like maybe this next offensive genius, a young up-and-comer? Because I think that on one hand, if you're a young up-and-comer, there's something exciting about that. There's a little bit of an unknown, like maybe you're going to get some sort of a genius that's going to be like this next like head coach for 20 years here or something. But on the other hand, if you've got a guy who's done it before, you're like, I kind of know what this guy's about. Like it's not as sexy, I guess, but at least you hit the ground running and it's a little bit smoother.
Yeah, I mean, I think and this is all kind of, George was asked, what are you going to do at the quarterback position? And he said, kind of, we're going to figure out the head coaching position first. I think they're tied together. Because if you plan to go after, like, a veteran quarterback, and you want to go after it now with this roster that you have, to me, then, a former head coach who has been in the chair before, who knows what to expect, who knows how to get the guys going, that, to me, makes a little bit more sense because you're gearing up for it now.
Kind of like when John Fox was here, right. Peyton Manning, that was a big draw for him.
Well, and then even, you know, John Fox and the Broncos part ways. Of course, after 2014, the Broncos go to Gary Kubiak. You know, they don't take a chance with a new head coach with that sort of roster, with that sort of quarterback. If George has looked at this and said, you know, maybe we're not going to get this veteran, or maybe it's a pipe dream. And let's be clear, Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are those big names out there. There are other veteran options you could get, too,
of course.
That would kind of be like a win-now type of move.
Yes.
But if you decide, hey, a rookie quarterback this year, or maybe we don't like this class, we're going to wait till next year, if you're doing that, then maybe a younger coach. Mm. And listen, either way could work. You can make it work. But I kind of view those as two paths that maybe make the most sense.
Do you think that then if, like, hey, you want to try and entice a guy like Aaron Rodgers, you go all in on Nathaniel Hackett? Or if you're like, hey, we want...
Yeah, maybe, I mean, that's the one guy who hasn't been a head coach that maybe makes sense.
Yeah, or like Matt Ryan in Atlanta with Dan Quinn, obviously some familiarity there. Like
Russell Wilson has familiarity with Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn, of course, yeah. So I think that those are things you want to think about the whole picture.
I also think that you tend to see teams do the opposite of what they've done in
the
past.
That's true.
The Broncos,
Broncos
have now hired back-to-back first-time head coaches.
Yeah. Two defensive-minded guys.
Yeah. And so now, does it make more sense to go to a guy that is just going to stabilize the building? When you talk about leadership and who's going to come in and be a leader, to me that means, when I think about that, it's we need someone who knows what they're doing and kind of has control of everything that goes on in the building. that points to me to someone who's been a head coach before. Yeah. Now, George Payton, of course, is very good at throwing people off the scent because nobody thought the Broncos were going to draft Pat Surtain at number 9. So maybe he doesn't want people to know he's interested in a certain young offensive-minded head coach, and it's all kind of a ploy. But if we're taking him at face value, which is I wanted this leader.
He said leader maybe like 27 times.
He did. Number one thing was leadership.
Yeah.
Then to me that might point to someone who's been in that chair before.
And there, you know, you talk to some of the players, you know, they talk about Vic Fangio being sort of this defensive genius, but maybe in the realms of like, hey, this rah-rah guy who's going to get everybody motivated and fired up to play, or you know, that type of a head coach. That's not really his personality, Vic Fangio. So
no.
If you want to go for a switch and get that guy who's more of a all-encompassing kind of he's going to manage the whole team, he's that CEO type, maybe that does speak to a different person who's been a head coach previously.
No, I don't think it's impossible for someone who has not been a head coach. You know, we've mentioned some of those guys, like Jerron Mayo's talked about a lot as that leader.
Yep.
He's not been a head coach. Nathaniel Hackett obviously has done a really good job on offense.
Grew up in the NFL, essentially.
Yeah. Kellen Moore, he could be a great leader. You know,
he was a quarterback.
I do think that something John Elway talked about when he hired Vance Joseph, he had already made up his mind almost going into the interview.
He said,
I like Vance. Yeah. I want to hire Vance. And he went in there, and it was almost confirmation bias. I don't think, knowing George, that he's going to do that. So he might have an idea right now of who he thinks is going to be that guy. I think George is thorough enough. He talked about having patience and not rushing through this. I think he's willing to be convinced by these guys. And, hey, maybe he doesn't know a lot about Kevin O'Connell or Kellen Moore, but maybe he's willing to go in and listen and say, you know what, that guy, he's young, but he actually might be a really good fit here as a leader.
That's really interesting that you brought that up, Eric, because I was thinking that, you know, George Payton, one of the things he hangs his hat on is his work ethic and his being prepared for the moment. Do you know what I mean? Like with the draft, like everybody talked about how many hours he put in for this, you know, evaluating the talent and really being ready for really anything that could happen come draft time. If you apply that same sort of thinking to the coaching search, do you think that maybe he's done so much homework on these guys that he has an idea of who he wants? You know, like it just strikes me as that George is the kind of guy who's like really prepared for the moment, that going into this, like I would imagine he probably has some idea of who he wants.
Oh, I'm sure when he got hired a year ago, he probably had an idea of, like, if this doesn't work out, here's some options.
Here's a guy
I really like. I'm sure that he was asked that during the interview process because, listen, the Broncos had two consecutive losing seasons going into last year.
Yeah.
It was no secret that it was kind of a win or else year for Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
So I'm sure George Payton's been thinking about this for a long time, but the good general managers and good people at anything, Phil, are not above.
Open mind.
Yeah, they have an open mind. They're not above admitting when, you know, maybe I didn't consider this option, but this is a really good option.
Better. Yeah.
And I think George Payton is that type of guy that if someone blows him away in an interview, it could certainly change some sort of preconceived notions. And listen, I think the biggest thing to remember, because there is a sentiment from the fan base, as we just heard, get the young offensive guy.
Yeah.
Get the young offensive guy. George Payton cannot worry, and I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know if he's going to go with an established defensive guy like a Dan Quinn, if he's going to go a young guy like Kellen Moore, if he's going to go established first-time head coach like a Nathaniel Hackett.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't. This can't be about trying to win the hire from like a popularity standpoint.
No, and I don't think that he would be concerned about that, because like with the draft, the quarterback position, Justin Fields, that would have been the popular choice to go after.
Yep.
But he stuck with what he believed and went with Pat Surtain again.
But he went with him, Pat Surtain again.
Yeah.
Later in the season, he said, we would have done it again.
Again.
But I just think that every year there's like a coaching hire that gets graded out as an A, and it ends up not being that great.
Yeah.
Just make a good, solid hire.
Yeah.
And if you believe in it, and you win football games,
that's all
fans are going to get behind.
Exactly. Winning is the ultimate thing that wins over fans.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
You can hire you could poach Sean McVay away from the Rams, and if you don't win football games, people are going to be like, why'd you do that?
Yeah. We should note that George Payton was in Miami at the same time as Dan Quinn.
There's a few connections, yeah.
So that might be a little bit of a sign of if he had this guy in his mind.
Well, the Eagles defensive coordinator that we mentioned,
yeah,
he was with
Gannon.
Gannon. He was with George in Minnesota for three seasons. George has crossed paths with a lot of different guys.
Been the business a long time.
And, you know, when you're at the combine, you kind of meet these guys, the Senior Bowl.
We sort of know everybody, too.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, just ask us what to do.
Yeah. We know more about, like, where to go for some bevvies.
We do a nice job of that.
Let's get to some more questions here. Dylan Berger. Phil. Once again, just directed over me.
Should I leave?
Do you think Doug Peterson would be a good fit with Ed Donatell as defensive coordinator? One of our friends talked to Ed Donatell. Was it?
He was Mike Kliss, maybe.
Oh, yeah, our friend of the show, Mike Kliss, said that he would love to stick around and see this Broncos, the vision through here. But obviously he has a major alliance with Vic Fangio. So, but what do you think about Doug Peterson, somebody like that?
He
won a Super Bowl.
He did win a Super Bowl. He's kind of that option if you want to go former head coach on the offensive side of the ball. He's kind of like – he's almost like the opposite of – not the opposite, but like the other side of Dan Quinn. You know, like Dan Quinn is the former head coach on the defensive side of the ball. Doug Peterson's on the offensive side of the ball.
Yep.
Like you mentioned, Doug, he did win the Super Bowl. Dan just got to the Super Bowl.
Dan did win, though, with the Seahawks. As the DC.
Right, of course.
As the DC.
Something to consider with Doug Peterson, I think, is just that their success there is really good for 1 year. He had Frank Reich there, who's now, of course, Indianapolis's head coach. So you wonder, and then things kind of fell off there, but you could say the same thing. In Atlanta, Dan Quinn had success for a couple of seasons, and then Kyle Shanahan left, and it wasn't as good.
Yeah.
And so you've got to figure out, hey, what about their success was them? What about their success was their coordinators? Could they attract really good coordinators if they're there? Because it doesn't matter, you know, if Dan Quinn can attract another offensive coordinator that's great, or Doug Peterson can attract a great defensive coordinator, then those are fine choices. I think with both of those guys, you've got to be able to separate their leadership abilities and what they do as a head coach from kind of the rest of it. And the one thing I'd ask about if I were George Payton is, with Doug Peterson, things didn't end great in Philadelphia. Like Dan Quinn parted on some like not great terms. He was fired in the middle of the year, but
he
was
started
all
a 2020 season 0-5, and then got
it. But when he got dismissed, it was a lot of respect for Dan Quinn.
Yeah,
but there was some friction in Philadelphia at the end.
That's more the Philly way, though.
Yeah, that's true.
A little bit of friction. So, you want some of that
with Ed Donatell. I don't know if defensive coordinator still is the where he would fit. He didn't call plays, of course.
Yep.
At least the last 11 years with Vic.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if you want a defensive, maybe a Gerard Mayo, maybe you interview him and you say, hey, come be our defensive coordinator. I mean, there's going to be some options out there. Yeah.
Mike Zimmer,
of course, has a natural George Payton connection, the things that were said about Mike Zimmer coming out today are not great either.
I would ask some of these guys, Doug Peterson, if they request an interview, Dan Quinn in their interview, I would just say, what did you learn that first time around that you could improve upon the second time around? Because I do think there are growing pains. So what did you learn that's going to make you better this time around?
And listen, Doug Peterson was part of that group, I believe, that found Carson Wentz, went and won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
A lot of teams. Right.
Yeah.
But Carson Wentz was going to have an MVP season that year.
He was having it.
They ran out of fireworks in Philadelphia when the Broncos played Carson Wentz.
Don't remember that?
I would say that if you could get back and win a Super Bowl and then you fired a coach 3 years later, Broncos would take that. I'd take that right now.
Of course, yeah.
So we're talking about like things kind of went downhill. Yeah. A lot of coaches never get to that peak.
The Eagles are back in the playoffs again.
Yeah.
So. Jim Martinez to Eric and Phil.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah. Which one has a better chance of making us better on offense? Nathaniel Hackett, Eric Bieniemy, or Kellen Moore?
So here's a good chance to talk about what I was saying before is, do you care about
play calling? Okay. Nathaniel Hackett does not call the plays.
Eric Bieniemy does not call the plays. Eric Bieniemy relays the plays, which is our friend Mike Kliss, I think, made of. I'm a little confused. Andy Reid talks on the headset to Eric Bieniemy, Eric Bieniemy relays those play calls to Patrick Mahomes.
Kind of like when the Broncos had Gary Kubiak. Gary Kubiak called the play. Greg Knapp relayed the play to Peyton Manning's headset.
And I'm sure, now there it is worth saying, during the week, of course, game planning, being around the quarterbacks, that sort of thing, there's a ton of work that's being done by Nathaniel Hackett, by Eric Bieniemy. I'm sure even on game day there's collaboration at times for the play calling. Hey, what do you want to do here?
Halftime adjustments.
What do you think in this situation? But in terms of the flow of the game, those guys are not calling a play.
Kellen Moore
is calling a play.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's something to think about because you know Kellen Moore can do it.
I think Nathaniel Hackett, I may be wrong, I think he did call plays in Jacksonville.
He did,
though.
With Blake Bortles, and he took Blake Bortles to an AFC championship.
Yeah, so he does have that experience. He just hasn't done it in Green Bay.
Right. I just think with those guys, unless so Hackett, you're doing a little bit of projecting.
Yes.
And listen, Eric Bieniemy could come to Denver, or Nathaniel Hackett could come to Denver, and they could say, we're still not going to call plays. We're going to be in charge of the overall offensive vision.
That's true.
And we're going to hire another offensive coordinator. We're going to bring our quarterbacks coach with us, and we're going to make, you know, Mike Kafka is the Chiefs quarterbacks coach. Of course, you know him.
Of course I do.
Former Northwestern Wildcat.
Cats guy.
Big Cats guy. Don't know if he's a cat guy, but he's a cats guy.
Cats guy. Erica, one thing I was going to say about all three of those guys is they've been attached to a big quarterback. So you wonder how much of the success
Blake is. Blake Bortles.
Nathaniel Hackett works with a guy. You might have heard of him, Aaron Rodgers.
Jordan Love?
No.
I think he works with Jordan Love, too.
But I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Got it. You're right. It's very
Dak
hard.
Dak Prescott, Patty Mahomes.
Patrick.
Showtime.
Yeah. Did you see that Jackson Mahomes?
He misspelled his
own last name.
Yeah.
That's tremendous content.
I think I've seen you dancing like that, though, before. Is that?
Yeah, I'm like.
Yeah. Well, that was post-game, right? That you were like, hey, get a shot of me.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
And I put my last name there's just like one L.
La,
and then like.
La.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
like a missing I.
Yeah. Actually, I think you had Eric, but it was with an E.
How do you. Yeah. How do you. Did you not look at the jacket before you put it on?
You know what might have confused him is it was the button. When it came together,
I mean, it'd be one thing if, like, maybe the O was missing, like, right in the middle, right in the chest. It was the E on, like, the side.
Yeah. It was, I don't know how many people really like that guy. I'm not sure.
That was a diplomatic way of saying it.
The comments.
I don't know how many people really like that guy.
There's the comments.
Some of those videos of Patrick Mahomes, he looks exhausted.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, I think any of those guys, Phil, would improve this offense. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Kellen Moore is a great play caller.
Yeah.
I think Nathaniel Hackett has the experience of working with veteran quarterbacks. Obviously, he helped develop Bortles a little bit. But I don't know. And, of course, beyond his work with Patrick Mahomes, there's no denying the success that they've had.
Yeah.
I think... Again, I almost wonder, like, who is the right fit? And George Payton has to decide this. Who's the right fit if we want to go with a rookie? Who's the right fit if we want to go with a veteran guy? But any of those guys would help you take a step forward. But you got to think about this as a whole piece. Like, if, let's just say, Eric Bieniemy is your head coach. Is him plus a defensive coordinator, is that a better outcome than kind of a CEO-type guy with an offensive coordinator who is, it's all about the sum of the parts and what overall is best for the team. It can't just be about one guy.
That's why I'm saying, like, do you think that George Payton has this vision, you know, where he's like, okay, I want this guy to be – I'm going to go all in on bringing in this quarterback, whether it's a draft, free agent, trade, whatever, and I need this type of a coach to go with it. Like, do you have that vision already in place, or are you just like, okay, we'll just see what happens?
Well, I think you want to hear – what these coaches say, what's their vision, and you want to see, does it mesh with yours? Because the GM and coach have to work well together. If you have different visions and the coach you bring in is only comfortable working with a veteran and you say, well, you know, there's a really good chance we might have to draft a young quarterback, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
If you bring in someone who says, I just want to develop a young quarterback, and you're set on trading or signing somebody, it's not going to work either. So you have to make sure those visions are aligned. I do think that George probably has some sort of plan, and knowing him,
that's right.
There's option A, and then there's option B, C, D, E, because it's one thing
to be able to adjust on the flow.
It's one thing to be able to be like, I want this coach, and put all your eggs in that basket, because chances are you can get that guy.
Yeah.
With a quarterback, with any player in the draft, you can't do that. There's too many scenarios that can play out. If you're all in on one trading for one quarterback, and that team just says no or he goes somewhere else, and you have no backup plan,
you're
in a bad spot. And I don't believe, based on what I've seen from George Payton, that he would put himself in that position.
Eric, I have some information here that you might be shocked to learn.
Okay.
Ben Swanson is actually being productive right now.
No.
That's the information.
He's drawing a picture?
He says that while we've been on the air here, Tom Pelissero of NFL Network, he's from the Leagues Network.
Okay.
From the Leagues Network here. Broncos have requested an interview with Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn.
Oh.
Aaron Glenn, a longtime NFL defensive back. Worked in New Orleans, knows Dan Campbell from his time there, and is now with the Detroit Lions.
How much experience? I'm not super familiar with Aaron Glenn.
I don't believe a lot, but you know what I would say is one of the nice things about the names that we've talked about, a lot of minorities as part of this list, which is a good thing to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think you want to bring people with diverse experiences.
Yes.
Because that's only going to help you improve. George...
A lot of people are saying, oh, like, you're only interviewing, like, Gerard Mayo to, like, satisfy the Rooney Rule. I don't think that is the case.
This year you have to interview two minority candidates as part of the Rooney Rule, but clearly that's not the case here. And
no, I mean, they're...
George Payton wants to find the best coach he can.
Yes.
But, yes, it is good to see that they're not doing the bare minimum.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So,
And I will say, when you look back to... I don't quite remember, Phil. It was a long time ago. I don't remember exactly how the Vance Joseph search went, but I remember Kyle Shanahan was interviewed, Vance Joseph, Dave Tobe.
Dave Tobe was the three big ones. Yeah.
But with the Vic Fangio search, they probably requested interviews with like four or five.
Brian Flores was part of that.
I think about five people. We're now up to, with this new edition, I think eight requested interviews.
It's a wide net.
It's just clear that, you know, we talk about George Payton's work ethic. This is another sign that he's going to fly across the country. He's going to go stop in all these different places. He's going to work tirelessly over the next couple of weeks to find the right person. And if he has to interview, you know, we're at eight. There's no reports about Doug Peterson because you don't have to request to interview him. It's possible they interview him. Maybe you're interested in Brian Flores. You wouldn't have to request to interview him. I mean, they could legitimately do 10 interviews.
Yeah.
And to me, that speaks to... Some people give you lip service and say, oh, we're going to do our best to find the best candidate.
This
to me says he is doing what it takes to find somebody.
And maybe he doesn't have a specific guy in mind, but he has the type of guy, like the characteristics that he's like, I want this. And then whenever he finds that, that'll be the guy.
Well, I think that you, in these interviews, even if you have no intention of hiring them or maybe they're a long shot candidate.
You got to learn.
You can learn certain things. Yeah. You can kind of get a sense of, hey, this person has this characteristic that the candidate we really like doesn't have. How do we go about complementing or filling that void on our staff?
I was going to say, do you think it's possible George Payton, like he wants some Marriott points, you know? So he's just like, let's get out to like, you know.
Yeah, he's like, let's get on these United flights.
Of course, United, yes.
Yeah.
And then...
Mileage Plus member, George Payton. Yeah, and he's like, let's
get these airline miles. Yeah. I got a feeling he might not be like a backing coach on a United flight.
No.
Do you think?
Probably not. He's looking for a coach, but he's probably not in coach.
That was good, Eric. That was good. Should we sign off?
That'll do it.
Okay, here's some more comments. Pat Collins says Jim Harbaugh's name has been thrown out there for a lot of current openings. Do you think... the best college head coach out there, maybe making a switch. Do you think that would be promising? Of course, Jim Harbaugh, a lot of success with the San Francisco 49ers.
You know, I don't know if Harbaugh is the answer here in Denver, just because you hear Vic Fangio, you hear George Payton talk about leadership.
We should have signed off.
Yeah.
We had our chance.
That was close. You hear George Payton talk about leadership. Jim Harbaugh clearly... has a certain way to get teams to win football games, but you often hear about kind of the friction that follows.
Ooh, yeah, you know, that's true.
There's friction in San Francisco.
What, how did you say it? He's got a way that
he's
he
He's got
likes
a way that, about him.
That, yeah, that he yeah. likes to have his team win football games.
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good – it took a while at Michigan. The interesting thing would be is that Jim Harbaugh is kind of rumored as a top Raiders candidate.
I doubt the Raiders make a change
right.
and then off to the playoffs.
But you never know with Mark Davis. You never know.
That's true. And Vic Fangio.
Vic Fangio has been Jim Harbaugh's defensive coordinator twice.
Of course, he spent 1 year at Stanford with Jim Harbaugh, right?
And he was with the San Francisco 49ers and went to a Super Bowl with Jim Harbaugh. That's important. Yeah. Now, they would have to probably chat about Vic's remarks about John Harbaugh earlier this year.
Oh, you think they have to? Hey, you
maybe
come
you
Thanksgiving,
can't,
you know.
Yeah, it's going to be a little awkward.
Yeah, a little awkward, yeah.
Yeah. I liked that.
You like that, all right.
It'll be interesting to see where Vic Fangio ends up as a defensive coordinator because I would think he would want to go to a team that could win right away.
Oh. I was thinking maybe like some sunny weather. You know,
yeah, like maybe like if Todd Bowles moves on.
Also, maybe if there's like some nice Italian restaurants.
Yeah, well, Tampa probably has some. Yeah. Oh, you think L.A., is that what you're suggesting?
I don't know. I'm just saying there's just some.
But I just, like if Todd Bowles go, he could maybe fit in with
yeah.
Bruce Arians. But the interesting thing is, like if Dan Quinn were to go somewhere, whether it's Denver or elsewhere, he could be a natural fit in Dallas. But after the Dallas game, Vic also had some words of.
You got to be careful what you say, huh?
I don't think Vic's worried about that.
No, he's not.
Which I respect about him.
Yeah. Officer Steven.
Okay.
That's your college roommate, right?
I don't think so. Might be your guy. Steven there, Nelson in the house.
Would there ever be a case for Mike Shanahan coming back? What about Wade Phillips?
Wade Phillips liked a tweet I saw either yesterday or today.
When he about the neutral zone?
Not my tweet. But someone said, hey, Wade, are you ready to come back and be defensive coordinator? And he liked the tweet.
He liked it, huh?
You know, you never want to say never, I don't know, with Wade. Mike Shanahan, I don't think is.
He's like, take my name off the rafters. I'm going back to the sidelines.
The same way, like, Gary Kubiak was mentioned in some articles as, like, a potential guy to call and see.
Now, many articles are saying.
Personally, yeah.
Got it.
But I wouldn't expect that. I think part of what fans enjoy is, hey, this worked before. Let's go back to it.
Yeah.
George Payton was kind of, for the first time in a long time, that new clean break toward something else.
Different else, yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen with all the ownership stuff.
Yeah.
But George Payton is a new GM. There's going to be a new head coach. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the past success of the franchise and saying Mike Shanahan was a great coach. Gary Kubiak was a great coach that could be in the Ring of Fame someday.
Someday.
And also saying, hey, let's get a fresh start and let's move forward.
Sure.
Maybe like within the next 10 years.
Pat Collins says, where can fans weigh in and provide George Payton some feedback on what we want to see in a head coach? He thinks that this approach should be a little bit more democratic. What do you think about that?
That's tremendous. Who said that?
Yeah. This is Pat Collins.
Pat Collins.
You know?
I wish I knew Pat Collins. It's a funny.
I think that's Phil Collins' brother.
Yeah. Pat could be a nice lady, too.
That is true. Patricia. Yeah.
Pat Summit.
Patricia. Pat Collins also says, who should Broncos country root for in the playoffs?
Okay, well, Pat, relax a little bit. You asked one entirely different question.
Good questions.
What was the first one?
Where can they wait? Where can fans wait?
At Phil Milani, with a PH.
At Eric Dalala with an A.
We'll pass it along.
Those are non-traditional spellings.
Yeah, we'll pass it along.
Well, you know, George was in my office today, and I was like, I don't have any more names. Like,
you're like, I gave you enough.
Yeah, eight is enough.
Yeah.
You know, like, here, like, you go find one of these guys.
I appreciate the sentiment about it being like a vote. Maybe you put up a Twitter poll and you're just like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, who should have?
You pay
you
George.
You love the Twitter
poll. You pay George for a reason. Let him do his job.
Let him do his job. Okay, and then who should Broncos come to be rooting for?
That's interesting.
I think we're a big Joe Burrow
fans. Yeah, we're in the AFC, I want to see Joe Burrow row.
He likes to come over to Brewery Lane.
Yeah.
Burrow.
That guy smokes a nice stogie.
He does.
Imagine Joe Burrow, like, during Super Bowl media week. He'd probably just tell some incredible stories.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it would be good.
Yeah.
The confidence oozes out of him.
Yeah.
And like,
and they've shown they can beat the Chiefs.
They have.
Not many people have shown that they can do that. So
what about on the NFC?
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of Broncos fans want to root for Vaughn.
That's true. The Rams had given up a 17-point lead yesterday to the 49ers.
It's true. Was that yesterday? It feels like months ago.
You wouldn't think that a defense with all that talent would do
Who else is in the...
You got the 49ers. You got the Eagles.
The Eagles, the Cowboys.
Yeah, what do you think? Of course, Tom Brady. I think he could be going for his 17th Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you about. talking about wins with the quarterback, George Payton brought that up.
Wins.
What did you think about that? Ultimately, a quarterback needs to win games.
I was like, no.
Okay.
No, I mean, I agree with him from a standpoint of you got to score points.
You got to win games, I think, is what he's saying.
You got to win games, but you got to score points to win games. The Broncos scored, what, three touchdowns against the Chiefs? Is that right?
Yeah.
They scored three touchdowns.
They got the two with Drew's legs, and then they got the one with Melvin's legs.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
They scored three touchdowns there, but previously 13 points a game. I mean, if Drew put up 30 points, you'd be talking about this is an effective offense, and they won.
Yeah, he'd be like, he'd be.
It's a little bit different to talk about wins if the Broncos are putting up 35 and still losing, I think. In that situation, wins and points are closely correlated.
Because if you end the game with more points,
you win. Yeah.
That is
if you have the same number of points, you tie.
That could have happened last night.
Yeah, oh my gosh. It was almost in Justin Herbert. I was at about halftime or like midway through the third quarter. I was like, man, maybe this guy isn't as good as we thought he was. Well, he was.
I'll say this, Eric. The two touchdowns that the Raiders gave up, shocking.
Shocking.
The fourth down one where it was like fourth and 28.
He converted six touchdowns. Fourth downs.
That was insane.
And they were drive, all like third and
the
long.
The last drive
or fourth
was like
long.
19 plays. It was like the first three were just for fun and then fourth down convert.
It was 19 plays and they went like 80 yards. And it took like a minute and a half. The Broncos went 20 plays against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
It took 11 and a half minutes.
Yeah.
And they didn't score.
It was not a particularly productive drive. Efficient. It was productive. It was not efficient. That's what I should say. Tom Agnetti. Tom, thank you for joining us. Every single Monday he's been here.
See, it's a little earlier for Tom out in Delaware.
Yeah. We were thinking about the East Coast. Though.
He was like, God, I got to stay up from 9 to 10. Or no, 8 to 9. Now it's a little bit earlier.
He says, I'd like to know on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you guys for the future? Stinks being out of the playoffs, but this change is nice to see to create some hope. First of all,
hope is good.
How does Tom like to leave voicemails?
Gentlemen. Yours was better.
Yeah, gentlemen.
Gentlemen.
I'm trying, Tom.
How does Brandon Walker leave it?
Hey, fellas. Brandon has also a... Brandon Walker's here. Hey, fellas. He starts with hey, fellas. It's beautiful. It's on brand. It's
you know you can count on Tom and Brandon.
You can. Those two are the presidents of NZ Nation.
Yeah. And then
one,
John Jornot's like kind of.
John Jornot did leave a nice email.
Did he? He did.
Maybe we'll get to that on Thursday show. But yeah. John Jornot did leave a nice
We're doing two this week, huh?
Huh?
We're doing two?
I think so.
Okay.
There's
a lot to get to.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I would say the excitement is high, the hope is high, because, at least in my mind, you've seen George Payton do a really good job drafting. Seems like
he
his.
Eight. Okay.
Because.
Nice hedge.
I believe. A hedge would be five.
No, you are 10.
You're at a 10? You're at a 10?
Yes, I am.
Perfect.
I stay at a 10, so I don't have to get to 10.
I think George has made a lot of good decisions, and so I'm excited to see who he picks as head coach. I believe in that choice. And then I also believe going forward that he's going to do something at quarterback that puts the Broncos back in position to succeed. The only reason it's at an 8 is because you still got to go do that at the quarterback position. No one's going to give that to you. It's going to be difficult. There's a possibility your first choice could not work out. So that's the only reason why. Hedged.
It's a lot like the backup quarterback. It's sort of like the unknown is optimism. There's some optimism with an unknown.
Yeah. You know, but you're like, at a 10. You're ready to go.
I know because I know what's going to happen.
Someone asked you that earlier. They said Phil, and you didn't even answer him.
This account is a killer 35 Durant. Maybe a Nets fan.
Basketball fan.
Maybe a Thunder fan.
George Stoya,
maybe? Warriors fan. You're really unclear here. It says Eric.
Texas fan.
It says Eric is the worst Broncos analyst I've ever seen. No emotion. Never right. Pessimistic. The 8 is not pessimistic.
It's a hedge.
I'll say Chris Fitzgerald, though, backs it up and says, I could see Eric as a coach one day, seems to know his X's and O's.
These people are. Thanks, Chris.
Those are.
Who was the first person who was so rude?
Killer 35 Durant.
Killer. How could I forget?
Yeah.
Maybe you should go back to watching basketball.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow. Chris Fitzgerald, at Eric, at Phil. Thank you. Non-traditional smilings right there. Do you guys have any fun off-season plans now that the season's over and the Broncos are out early? What will you do on Monday nights? I'll be back here.
Yeah,
I'm
we're just
not doing the show.
Yeah, the camera's off. We still sit here in the same thing.
We talk
Broncos. Set the backdrop up a little bit.
That's because we need the attention.
Yeah, we're like, look at us.
Yeah, look at me.
The Broncos. There's really not as much of an off-season as people would think.
Yeah.
You know, the Broncos are not in the playoffs, but there's a coaching search that would take the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Yep.
And there's the Senior Bowl and the Pro Bowl. You go to the Super Bowl for some Hall of Fame content. You know, DeMarcus Ware could get in this year. We go to the Combine. We tear it up.
Shrimp cocktail.
Yep.
Yep. No, it never ends.
And then you get to free agency,
there's always,
the draft.
There's always stuff.
The Broncos, of course, will start their offseason program 2 weeks earlier this year because they have a new head coach.
That is true.
That's when you like to take your vacation. So you're not worried about that.
The off-season program is when I go off season.
Yeah. I'm always like, oh, it's the sixth practice of OTAs. Where's Phil? And then
I'm on a beach.
Look at your Instagram, and you're sipping a pina colada.
Yeah.
Maybe a nice Breckenridge Brewery beer. Yeah.
Maybe I'm in Europe.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Maybe a pandemic starts.
Tom Magnetti, gentlemen, it's because of the quarter zips. I didn't realize that, but now that I think of it, you're right.
Yeah. You have an interesting quarter zip right there because it folds over a little bit.
A little fold over.
Yeah.
It's part of the collection.
You're revolutionizing the quarter zip.
Yeah. No.
I've got my athletic quarter zip
athletic
on. Athleisure.
Yeah, exactly. Eric is actually potentially a great NFL head coach, scout, honestly.
Who said that?
C. Thomas. Aaron Gonzalez, both of you guys should actually be coaches like FR. FR.
Yeah, for real.
For real.
Two FRs or just one?
No, just the one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so maybe it's not true.
You, Phil, once back in the day suggested that you could be put on the sideline on game day and do a nice job as head coach.
That is not entirely accurate. I said that if you don't call plays.
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't call plays on the sideline.
Just timeouts
and challenge flags and like whether or not to go for fourth down.
Yeah.
I think that I could do a nice job.
Yeah.
I won't say anything more than that. That's all I'll say. That's all I'm going to say there. Jim Martinez, do you guys still have NZ Nation stickers?
Of course we do. Do we still have stickers?
Yes, of course
we do.
The post office.
Yeah, don't blame it on our lovely postal workers. That's your fault.
Brandon Walker, hey, fellas. What did you guys make of the ability to get the run game going after a tough start? Brandon's like, let's get back to the game.
Yeah, Brandon's like, enough nonsense.
Yeah, enough of this.
And somewhere
nonsense.
Rick Owens is like,
what are your thoughts on Melvin and his continued fumbling issues? Okay, I don't think that was on Melvin. The exchange was not fully clean. Melvin Ingram, his former teammate with the Chargers, was like in the middle of all of it. He got there very quickly, Eric.
But it does seem to happen, you know, with Melvin.
Chris Fitzgerald chimes in. Phil would suck as a head coach, let's be honest.
Can you say that word on there?
Suck?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can.
Okay. It's just YouTube. Going back to the running game, I think it was good that the Broncos got it going.
I'm rattled.
Yeah, you're sorry. Good that the Broncos got it going. Yeah. Melvin had a great game.
Yes.
The fumble, not entirely on him. You'd still like to see him somehow hold on to the ball because it has, it just adds to that narrative, which is not great. Yeah. But, you know, he seemed less sure at the end of the year about his future than he did halfway through or at the beginning of the year.
I still think that I think it's something, and Javonte make a nice 1-2 punch.
I think it's something to consider.
I'll have to look at it. Melvin, the rare combination of big, physical, powerful, but also we saw on Saturday that breakaway speed.
Yeah.
That's rare here. Eric Martin with an E. How did your parents come up with Eric with an A? Lowell. It says Lowell at the end.
They had a couple too many Breck brews before they filled out the certificate.
Tom Magnetti says that he, after coming here in person, that he really thinks that we're nice guys, genuinely nice guys.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Tom is genuinely a nice guy.
This is the last Breckenridge show, but we're going to continue on, of course.
Yeah, you're going to still hear from us.
Chris Fitzgerald, I like these guys. They've had like two sips of beer, though, the entire show, despite being at a brewery. They should chug their beers at the end of the show.
Chris, come on.
Celebrate the off season.
My beer's gone.
This thing's been aged in, bourbon barrels.
Yeah. You get here and you're like, I want the one in the bourbon barrel. And they're like, sir, could you just use the name of the beer?
Yeah. Do you guys have the bourbon here?
And yeah. Like,
no.
So I do, if I can interrupt.
Yeah.
I do want to give a shout out to a new emailer, Mary Hanley.
Oh, yeah.
She submitted a resume for the Broncos head coaching job.
Do you want to read the resume?
I do. Maybe read it one more.
Oh,
I wasn't quite.
Okay, sorry,
I wasn't ready for that.
Chris Fitzgerald, which head coaching vacancy in the league do you think is the most attractive?
That's a good question. I think the Dolphins is attractive. You have a young quarterback in place in Tua that could be good. He's shown some signs. The Raiders will be an attractive vacancy. But I do think if you look around some of these articles from NFL.com, that sort of thing, a lot of people have the Broncos as the number one option, and you're not a fan of some of the takes out there.
I was going to say, you and I have a differing approach as to which vacancy is the best. For me, as a head coach, I like to think more of franchise, like the respectability of the franchise, how they treat their employees, what the that's what I'm saying. I mean, different franchises have different reputations out there.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I'd like to think about more in that way. You like to think more current, like players, that kind of thing. You like to think more specifically like that. I like to think more of like the reputation of the organization. So like to me, some organizations have really strong reputation. I'd say the Broncos are right there at the top. I would say like an organization like the Vikings, a long tradition there with the Will family of treating their employees really well, like just a classy organization. I think that you saw Teddy Bridgewater say something about the Broncos last week. He just said that everything's been first class here. You know, you saw Vic Fangio put out a statement talking about the organization. Those things, to me, matter. And that's why I think this Broncos job is like a really desirable job. Other people out there think very much, oh, this division, it's going to be tough with Mahomes and Herbert. That's true, but I'd rather work for an organization that has this strong reputation.
Yeah. And I said if you have a franchise quarterback in place, like that's important. And you're like, but do they get free meals in the cafeteria?
That's important to me.
Okay, so Mary Hanley wrote and said she was applying to be the Broncos head coach, confident that an outside perspective will lead the Broncos to a 20-0 record.
That's like the mission statement?
Yeah. Offer to interview live on the podcast, maybe next time. Some highlights from the resume, Phil.
Zero wins, zero losses,
yeah,
I think I remember.
Yeah, zero losses, fewer than Broncos. That's tough.
That's
played one Powder Puff football game in 2011. She says her relevant skills include looking stern behind a clipboard. Said she's never done it, but thinks
big.
It looks easy.
What about podium game? Anything about that? Because that is important.
Relations. Nothing about that. She does say that she works with, she markets to brokers, and brokers like golf, and golf like football as a sport.
That's true. All of those things are true.
Yeah. And then it says she is an occasional neutral zone listener, which is one of her sports hobbies.
It is, because we bring it. It's very intense, like the watching. I would not just, like, relax and watch the neutral zone. You got to be, like,
So
engaged here.
If anyone else wants to send a resume in, try to be more creative than Mary, you can send it to neutralzoneshow@gmail.com. Phil, we'll pass them along. I mean, they're interviewing 10 people.
I mean, George, I just told you he was in my office.
We interviewed 10 people. They might as well interview, what was it, Mary Handley? Hanley.
That is very creative.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, Mary.
Might print that out and put it on our wall in the office.
Yes. Chris Fitzgerald, who do you guys think are going to win? Who's going to win the Natty tonight?
Oh, Bama's going to roll.
Really?
Yeah.
I kind of like Georgia.
No.
Georgia, the number one team all season long.
They lost by 30 points.
That's what I.
It hasn't started yet. Making sure that you're like, is Georgia losing yet?
Okay, Tom Magnetti. Hello, fellas. Thank you so much for the in-depth Bronco analysis through the year. We're not going anywhere, Tom. We're going to be back here.
Yep. We'll be back. We hope so. We printed this whole backdrop, Phil. It'd almost be silly to not come back.
Of course not. Yeah, we got to keep using that. Christopher Espinoza, Eric and Phil, the best insider duo. Thanks for the great time. Keep it on, keeping on. Thank you very much. Eric Martin with an E. I've been watching you guys from the beginning. Pretty amazing journey. Hats off to you both. Broncos got this one right. Thank you very much, Eric.
We'll see what happens with the coaching hire, but we got this right.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think that a new head coach would be able to eliminate the neutral zone?
Probably.
I hope not.
Probably.
I hope not. If he's like, I don't like these two guys.
Phil, we've...
That's impossible.
I've been here now through three head coaches. Yeah. You've been here through four, right?
John Fox.
Yeah.
Gary Kubiak. Vance Joseph.
Vic Fangio. We hang on for dear life.
We do.
We've hung on through a lot of quarterbacks.
We've gone through a lot of quarterbacks.
I hope that the next head coach and quarterback pairing, I hope they outlast me.
Really?
That would mean stability for the franchise.
Oh. That's a long time. Metabali, you're going to do Mondays at the farm home through the off season. Unclear.
Metabali, that's our guy.
Yeah, of course. Unclear, Metabali. We'll have to see. We're kind of like Teddy Bridgewater. Our contract is up here. We'll have to see. Yeah. Hopefully they like we made it a farm home. They made it a farm home.
We'll be back.
It's a nice place here. Let's see. C. Thomas, what are your guys' outlook for next season, honestly? Seems grim with needing a new head coach during a losing season. No.
Teams with new head coaches. I mean, Nick Sirianni just took Philly to the playoffs.
Sure. It always happens.
If I thought through, Brandon Staley, of course, did not get all the way to the playoffs, but the Chargers were better. Rich Bisaccia came in for the Raiders, took them to the playoffs. I mean, it's going to depend on the coach. It's going to depend on who plays the quarterback position. Phil, if they make a big move, I was thinking about this on the drive over here, this team could be on prime time five times next year.
Seven times.
I think there's a limit of like five or six, right?
I think six maybe, but with a new longer season, I think maybe you could do more.
That's one of those Phil facts.
Chris Fitzgerald, breaking news, Eric's leaving the Broncos.
Never.
Let's see here. Chris Fitzgerald, they should, Minabali, no off season for Eric and Phil. There is no off season.
No, we talked about that.
We're still grinding here. Chris Fitzgerald, I'm surprised when they fire the coaching staff.
Comments.
There isn't also turnover in digital media department. Glad to see you guys are still employed, even if Vic is not.
This guy's dialed in to know that it's called the digital media department.
He does, yes. Brandon Walker, we need NZ Nation episodes through the playoffs.
We'll be here.
There'll still be them, no matter what.
Thursdays, generally.
No matter what. We do the Thursdays. And then Rip Watts, RIP Dan Reeves.
That's true.
Is that everything, Ben? Kind of everything.
It's 6:45.
I think it's 6:07. I think it is time to wrap up the show.
Our friend Roya Burton has fallen asleep over there.
Yeah, we should say it takes a family to put this show up on the...
It takes a village?
The village and the family.
Yeah.
Is that... Yeah, it takes a village to raise a baby. I'm saying it takes a family to put this show up on YouTube.
Okay.
You don't like that?
I don't think it's really a saying, but it's okay.
It is now. I was going to say thank you to Roy Burton.
Of course.
She makes sure that we get up. Really, the most professional of all of us.
Yeah.
So we should say shout out to Roy. Ben Swanson. He draws a lot, but he does
He sent some comments tonight. He did a nice job.
He did a very nice job. See, very communication skills, not very good. He's a hand signaling.
Phil, a big, big thank you to Breckenridge Breweries.
A big thank you.
Farm
yes.
Home in Littleton.
Oh, Swanson did have nice lighting.
Yeah. Oh, good lighting. Yeah.
Not like
not early in the year. People forget that we were out there in the darkness, the strobing lights.
That's true.
The audio didn't work.
That's true. We got it cleaned up. It was a big journey.
We've come a long way.
But, yes, thank you to Breckenridge Brewery. We really enjoyed coming here every Monday. They've made us feel welcome. They've got a nice spot set up for us here, a safe spot.
Eric, very safe.
You know? And then also the beer has been really delicious.
Yeah.
This is the Holiday Ale aged in bourbon barrels. It's really good.
And this was the Juice Drop IPA.
Juice Drop, which is also delicious. I can vouch for that. More of a summer, warmer weather for me. You know, I like to change my tastes.
Yeah.
Sort of how, yeah, that's how I do it.
Yeah. I'm steady.
You're dedicated.
Steady.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's been a great season coming out here.
It's been great. I've
really enjoyed it. And the fun part for me was also being able to engage directly with the NZ Nation. That was a lot of fun. So,
and thankful to them, Phil. It has not been an easy season. Rockets have lost some games. They've gone on some losing streaks. The fact that every Monday, for the most part, people have been here. They've been fired up about the Broncos. They've been asking questions. We appreciate it.
Chris says, let's get an NZ Nation section at the stadium. That'd be kind of nice. You know, like the Mets fans, they have like they have the six, I think it's a subway line that takes you out to the stadium there.
Yeah.
We should have an NZ Nation section.
That'd be good.
Could be nice. Maybe just stickers everywhere. They just shoot off stickers after touchdowns. Like a sticker cannon.
During introductions, everyone would just shout, hello!
Yeah, after each name. That could be kind of nice, Eric, I think. I just dropped my mask. Okay, I think it's time to sign off.
I think so.
So for one last final time here at Breckenridge Brewery's farm home in Littleton off of Santa Fe and Rory Lane. For Eric Dalala, I'm Phil Monty. You've been listening to
The Neutral Zone.